Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict's Inn. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about Fear the Walking Dead, Season 3, Episode 4, entitled 100. It was written by Alan Page, who's worked on Fear, and directed by Alex Garcia Lopez, who's worked on Residue, Misfits, and Secret Diary of a Call Girl. The name alone intrigues me. I want to see what that. Well, yeah, I was going to say I want to see what that's about, but I kind of have an idea.
Have a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Gary. We did not do an instant cast. We apologize, but it was Father's Day, so we just didn't do one. So, but Gary, what did you think overall of the episode?
I thought it was a great episode. This episode says a lot about the writers. Fear the Walking Dead is not as big as Walking Dead. And ever since it came out, there's been a lot of criticism. You know, people want to compare the two. They're not giving Fear a chance or putting it in its own category. And the writers just are getting just better and better as the seasons go along. And this episode was just amazing. Just period.
This episode was really good. Like, really, really good. I watched it Sunday night. I did pretty much half. I live tweet for most of it. But it was really good. Like, I think it was one of the best ones. And not only that, like, even our first like on the list, I'll say, which was my favorite part. And I didn't even realize it was a like until afterwards I was reading an article on Fear. And the person was like, yeah, this episode was in subtitles. And I was like, they were saying it was all in subtitles. I'm like, was it? And then when I rewatched it for the second time, I was like, shit, like, I think the whole thing was in subtitles, if not like 95%.
Right.
I'm trying to think. I think the whole thing was in subtitles. And that's how you know something's good, because I watch foreign films and I never, ever think about it as being in subtitles or K-dramas. I watch those and I just know, okay, I can't be doing other stuff. I have to actually pay attention because you have to read it. But that's when you know something's good, when you don't even realize you're reading it. You're just in the conversation. And they did a really good job.
Yeah, they did a great job.
Great, great job. I think they redeemed themselves, so... Let's go. The way the podcast works is we discuss our likes, our dislikes, any listener letters, and woohoo, we have some this week. Thank you, guys. And then we do an award and a prediction. First on the likes is, as I was just saying, it primarily being in subtitles. Very cool. Even the article that I was reading, they were saying this may be like the first time that an American show, a primetime American show, has done something like that. And that takes guts to do something so different and... on a big network such as AMC. So I think that was cool.
And to be honest with you, I didn't even notice that until you just said something just now.
Yeah, I didn't notice until I read the article. I'm like, wait, I remember being subtitles, but I don't remember the whole episode. And then when we watched the second time, I was like, shit, I think the whole episode is in subtitles. So yeah.
Damn, I watched it twice and didn't notice.
Didn't notice, right. Right. So I thought that was cool. Because everything I keep thinking of their conversations... I keep thinking of their conversation. Like, when I hear the conversation in my head, I'm hearing it in English because you read it. You know what I mean? So I thought that's cool. The Lady Walker coming after Daniel in the beginning. I actually tweeted about this because that walker was like hella fast. Like, she damn near ran after Daniel.
These walkers are running.
Yeah. It's almost, and they're going to get to like the World War Z type walkers. Pretty soon. Right. Like those fast ones. I mean, that'd be crazy. But this one was pretty fast. And it was scary.
Yeah, that was scary. I have to say that Fear has the best walkers.
Yeah. You said it before, but it's worth saying again. Because even when she, like, it's kind of funny because it's like, okay, I don't never seen those walkers on the original series. But what? Oh, well, we've decided that they're two separate shows. But, like, when Daniel's hiding behind, like, the trash can or whatever, and it's, like, a scary movie. Like, she turns her head, like, so, she turns her head, like, sharply. Like, as if yeah. She, you know, has all these senses and stuff like that. I'm like, okay. And then when she, like, kind of start going after him, I'm like, was that a run? She kind of put a little
light jog.
Yeah, a little light jog into her step. So, either way, I thought it was cool.
I mean, we have seen it all on Fear.
Yeah.
We've seen the wrestling zombies. Wrestling.
Right.
A zombie give, what's his name? Not Strand. What's the husband's name?
Oh, Travis?
Oh, I forgot his name already. Yeah, you're right. It's Travis, but I just forgot about him already.
I know.
Like, he's gone now. But gave Travis the rock bottom.
Right. Right, the people that were, right. All right, so Efren, who's the character that we met this week. You pointed this out, and I liked it too, but you like how he puts the stake in their head, and you compared it similar to how you stake a vampire's heart.
Yes, it's more like he's hunting vampire. He have his little stake, his little hammer, and you see as he take him down, that's what he do. Instead of putting the stake to the heart, he's doing it to the head. So I thought that was a good take on it.
I liked when he was killing one, he accidentally, he's like, give me a long one. This one has a big head. Like, give me a long nail.
Right.
I like that part. All right. So as much as this scene kind of grossed me out, I will say that it was a cool like because it was something that they even thought about to bring up that was necessary, which is Daniel getting his leg scraped because, as you remember, he was in a fire, so he was burned a lot. And they could have just kind of ignored this, but they showed him. His face looked like they had, like, maybe first-degree burns or something like that.
The back of his neck.
Mm-hmm. And then with the pant leg, like, sticking to his skin. Oh, it was so gross, but it was real.
Yeah, they thought of everything.
Right.
Every little detail. And it was necessary because Daniel's here now.
Right.
And we're wondering, how did he get out the fire? How did he make it? So instead of just bringing him back and, you know, he's this badass, they're explaining why he's back. How this happened.
Yes, although I do wonder how long he's been back, because based on how he was the beginning episode to how he is at the end of the episode, I wonder how much time has gone on, because he now seems healed. Not completely, I'm pretty sure he still has some scars, but he's much better, and that's probably because he had food and water in him.
Right, well, he's still limping around.
Okay.
Remember, he still have a cane.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay. Daniel, remembering how many people he killed, which was 96 at the beginning or towards the beginning of the episode, which I thought was cool because I still didn't even put two and two together as far as him killing 96 people and the title of the episode being 100.
Right.
Although me and Gary kind of did discuss, like, we counted the three people he killed at the end, Dante, and then he killed two guards. But that fourth guard.
Yeah, they just gave him a kill.
Yeah, either they're counting the fourth guard, which Efren tripped, and we didn't see him after that, or the guy that Daniel brought over there, but then Dante threw him over the edge. So, like, I don't know which one they're counting as the 100th one, but, you know, we'll give it to him. They say he killed 100, he killed 100. So I don't know which one is the 100th one, though.
Well, I'm not giving him nothing.
Okay, so you're saying his count is 99?
Yeah, he killed 99.
Because I don't think he killed anyone before this, before that scene at the end.
Not that I could think of.
Yeah.
No.
But it was still cool that we liked that he remembered how many people he killed. And then it even comes up later, which is a different like.
And it shows it's still hunting him. And he has a heart. He's not like one of the people that just torture people and just, that's it. It's a day's work. He's actually counting the people he killed.
Right. I mean, and this has been something that's been going on since season one. You know, when we met Daniel. So I do like that this is not something they changed in his character. Like, he's always had those, he's always been fighting those demons. I believe even when his wife was dying, didn't she call him the devil?
Called him the devil.
Yeah. So I like that this is something that they're keeping on and that they're, you know, they're adding to that backstory. Daniel thinking everyone had burned, including Ophelia, and, like, seeing how heavy that's weighing on his heart, because he's like, I woke up and everyone's dead, or at least he couldn't tell who was not dead because no one else was there.
Well, he doesn't remember starting a fire. It's like he was sleepwalking.
And, you know, I meant to go back, because when we were watching it, you were like, wait, he started the fire. So he did start the fire, not that lady.
No, he started it.
Okay, yeah, he started, but he was trying to kill. What was he trying to do? Was he trying to kill those walkers that were down there?
He was
there?
Trying to kill the walkers and a lady, and he was also sacrificing himself. But remember, he was in a daze the whole time. It was like his demons just was trying to get him that episode. He was talking to himself. He was still hearing his wife.
Right, okay. Yes, I think that's when he was imagining his wife was right. There or something.
So it made sense this episode when he said that he don't know what happened. He just went to sleep and woke up and there was a fire.
Right. And that's sad to think that he did it. Like, for him to think that I killed my own daughter. Like, I burned her alive. Or he doesn't know for sure.
Well, he still thinks so. And even though Strand tried to, you know, play the little game. When was this? When he was locked up.
Right.
When he gave Strand the water, Strand said, yeah, she's waiting for you right now. It's like he had hope for a second. And as soon as Strand threw that in, like, oh, she's waiting for you. That's when he just, like, hold up. Why is she waiting for me?
Right.
How does she know I'm still alive?
Yeah, Strand fucked up. He said too much.
Strand fucked up. But I think he lost hope right then and there.
Because he probably doesn't believe anything Strand said now.
Right.
And that is sick. And I think Daniel kind of, well, we can talk about it. But I think Daniel even said, like, you're sick. Like, if you are making up that my daughter's alive when she's not, that is pretty sick. But in this case, Strand is not for sure making up because he doesn't know where her daughter is. You know, he knew she.
He doesn't know where his daughter is. But he's not lying when you say that she made it out with us. We all held up at this hotel.
Right. But until she left.
Right. But he's not giving him the whole story.
Right.
Well, Strand is a con artist. But he has to understand that this guy right here that you're trying to lie to, torture people. He gets the truth out of people no matter what. What?
And he can tell when someone's lying. I'm pretty sure right. He's good at reading people.
Yeah, he's a good reader. So you can't say too much. Strand should have just said, we made it out. She's held up at a hotel. That's it.
Right.
But, you know, by him getting a little too desperate, come on, we can go now. Yeah, she's waiting for you.
Yeah, I mean, he could have stuck with the truth. Like, they kicked me out because I told some bullshit lies, but I can take you back there. And, you know, and he would have been able to still be telling the truth of that part.
Like, right.
He could have, you know? All right, so next on the list is Efren saying to Daniel, he said, I have good news. There's no one left to judge you. Well, he said, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is there's no one left to judge you. When Daniel's, like, telling him, like, all the stuff he's done, can he forgive him? But then he said, but the bad news is, and it was like, dot, 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 dot.
And he fell asleep. So what do you think the bad news was?
Well, I kind of feel bad because I want to take what you said you thought the bad news was.
Go ahead.
Okay. You said, and when you said it, it's now in my head, is that's what it was. But you said, I believe, something towards that the bad news is, you know, there's no one left to judge you, but you are still alive. Like, you have to keep living. And, you know, sometimes when, like, I don't know, you know how, like, a parent, maybe a child dies on a parent's watch or something, but it's in a freak accident. And people go, right. Like, you know, the parents already paying the ultimate cost. Like, they're still living while their child is dead or, you know, something like that. And I feel that's kind of what he meant. Like, yeah, you know what? There's no one left to judge you. But the pain and suffering, the bad news is that you still have to live with all that loss, all those killings that you did.
Right. And I agree.
Yeah. Well, you agree because he told me. I just kind of, like, expanded it a little bit. That was your idea.
You made it sound good.
Next on the list, like, is list likes or likes list, is the Debo Walker getting struck by lightning. That walker was humongous.
That was a huge, huge walker. And it was like little decay or whatever.
Right. It looked like just a regular human being.
A regular dude with the walker eyes.
Right.
With creepy eyes.
He looked so familiar, though. Like, I've seen that. Either that actor that played that one, I've seen him before. He has a distinctive look. I mean, he's so big. So, like, when I saw him, I'm like, did I see him on Fear or Walking Dead before? Like, did they reuse this guy?
I wonder, can a walker be big boned?
Well, we talked about that. We've seen, like, on Walking Dead. Remember, Daryl had some, like, swole.
Oh, the swole walker?
Yeah.
The walker, the bones were just, like, swole.
Yeah, like, they were big fighters or wrestlers or something.
But I wonder, can a walker be big bone? Like, this walker right here, like, once he started to can a little more, will he just be like a skinny skeletons, skinny bones?
I don't know if they ever get that far. It's possible, though. We never see that far.
I just want to see a full skeleton walking around.
With, like, zero skin?
With no skin.
Right.
No nothing.
Now, I will say with the Debo getting struck by lightning, as cool as it was very different because let's just take Walking Dead. It is something that's fake, right? But it just seemed even like the chances of him getting struck by lightning right then and there where Daniel needed it, while Daniel was kind of like praying to God, like, just take me now. And then he gets struck by lightning. I don't know. It's something about it is like a little bit more, brings a little more fantasy to the show than what The Walking Dead has. Even though if you think about it, there's a scene in The Walking Dead, I think from season 5 or 4, where they're all in the barn and it's pouring down rain, it's thunder and lightning. And then the next day when they wake up, everything around them is dead and broken, and trees, you know, the trees have killed all the walkers that were outside, but the little barn that they were in was safe. So I guess they've done something like that similar on Walking Dead, but I just thought it was a little more fantasy or magical that, like, right where Daniel's about to die, this walker gets struck by lightning. And apparently so does Daniel.
Well, Daniel was close to him. That's like a tree gets struck by lightning and you're under the tree or close to it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've seen a video, like a real life video of people standing around the tree and the tree getting hit by lightning and everybody's just flying, you know, this way and that way.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I was younger, I went to the Boys and Girls Club, and it was raining, thunder and lightning outside, and this, it was around the time that our parents was supposed to come pick us up. Like, I'm guessing around 5, 6 o'clock, I don't know. But it was me and a bunch of other kids standing at the door. And, you know, the if you ever been to a Boys and Girls Club or been to one of those old gyms where they have the big steel doors,
mm-hmm.
we were all standing in the door, and lightning struck so hard, and it was so loud, it's like it hit the door that we were standing by. I mean, we didn't fly anywhere, but it shook us. We were scared. But the way it felt and the way our skin felt and hair stood up on everybody, because the hairs were standing up on my arms and everyone around me, it was just crazy.
Wow. So you think that's sort of what happened to Daniel? Like, because he didn't get actually hit by it. It was kind of like a secondary blast from him, or secondary
right.
hit or whatever. All right. Next on the list, like, is the lady putting the security guard in his place. Although I was scared for her. I was really scared for her. And this is the part where she told Daniel, like, okay, we don't know each other. We just met for the first time. You're going to be a janitor that came here and asked. And she's like, well, not asked, begged for work. And that's when the security guard comes in. He's questioning her, like, who is he? Da, da, da. And she's like, you're in charge of security, so do what security guards do. And I'm in charge of water, so I will do, you know, I'll take care of the water and the workers that are involved. And, like, I loved how she stood tall and firm, even though she was kind of somewhat lying, because somewhat lying. But I loved it. But at the same time, I was like, oh, my gosh, this guy, you know, clearly he has no morals and ethics. Like, he may, like, hit her or something. So I was
well,
scared for
he's
her.
He's security, and she has an important job. It's like she's a scientist. So you can't really just beat up a scientist, beat him because they're the one who's running out of tests and doing
right.
everything that you need. So she was right to tell him, hey, your job is to protect Dante.
Right.
And my job is to make sure there's water, or check on this water and make sure it's clean or clear, whatever.
And then we have a, like, where this is more of your, like, where Daniel is asking Efren, like, were you a priest in another life?
Yeah, because Efren was praying over the dead
right.
before he killed it again.
Yeah.
And I like that part, because what did Efren say?
He said, I've been many things until I find my calling. Or something.
Yeah,
like
he said. He said, I've been many things, but I finally found my calling.
I finally found my calling. Yeah,
and I wonder, is the calling he's speaking of is, you know, preaching or just saving people, just going around saving people? Because we seen them, you know, in many instances, like he saved Daniel, then he went to go get water for the hidden people in the city,
mm-hmm.
whatever. So I wonder if his true calling just helping people in general.
I think either his true calling is helping people, or it could be both. It could be helping people as well as slaying the walkers, you know, because he has a method to it. He doesn't just kill the walkers with whatever he can. He, like, he has a thing, you know, because even when he's struggling and he's like, Daniel, help me, dump. I'm like, man, just kill the walker. Why do you need the nail? But, like, that's his method. And maybe he feels like that's doing it the right way, or
it could be, because it could be deeper than what we're thinking it is.
Right.
You know, maybe he's praying over him for a reason. He actually wanted to send him home properly.
Yeah, because he even, like, poured liquor or whatever was in his canteen. I don't know if it was liquor or water, but he even poured some out on the walker and, like, said a prayer for it. So
yeah, probably water. Wanted to baptize him a little bit before he sent him off.
Yeah.
Again.
Now, actually, going back to the water real quickly before we go to our next, like, Also in that same article, they were talking as far as the magical, that's kind of where I got that from as well as the article. And they were saying like how the water fountain comes on at 5 p.m. And I don't think that part was magical. I think the lady had something to do with the water coming on at 5 p.m.
Right. She was turning it on.
Right. So I don't
know. Or got in it in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. All right. Next is Daniel fighting the guy or the security guy who touched his food. I like that because Daniel's eating there and Daniel's like mind his own business. Everyone stood for Dante and sat down for Dante. And the guy comes over, messing around with Daniel, and Daniel's just ignoring him. He's like, okay, didn't know. You know, I didn't know that's the boss. And then as soon as he touched Daniel's food, Daniel stabbed him with a fork. I was like, oh my gosh, who stabs someone with a fork? But like, that's like, shows how like, you know, they're in their own little world now. This is a whole new world where a fork is even a weapon. And you don't touch somebody's food.
Well, you just don't touch anyone's food, like right now.
Yeah, you don't do that. You don't do that now or in the pockets. Right. But he's stuck his finger in it.
I can see someone get stabbed with a fork now.
Right, that's possible. Touching
someone's food.
Yeah. What'd you think of that scene, though?
It was a cool scene. I thought that it was just thrown in there. You know, just like a segue to lead to something else. To lead to Dante seeing Daniel. Or hearing Daniel, because when the guys walked in, Dante walked in, no one was looking at Daniel. Only person who was looking at Daniel is the lady across from him that said, you need to stand. Mm-hmm. We saw Daniel walk straight, the guards walk straight. So by the guard coming and say, why didn't you stand? It just didn't make sense to me, because I'm like, you know, you guys, you weren't paying attention to him.
Okay.
Or how would you know if he stood or not? Because as soon as people started standing up, that they said, no, have a seat.
Right.
So, you know, Dale could have said, you know, I didn't have a chance to stand. So I think it was just a par just thrown in there to lead to the next part, to now Daniel's a part of the team.
I thought that too. I thought it was more of, well, at least when he confronted Daniel, I thought Daniel was going to say, I didn't even have a chance to stand. Because they were standing up for just a quick second and then sat back down.
Right. So that part really didn't make sense. But I'm glad it happened.
Yeah.
It was entertaining.
And the fight, and then even learning a little bit more about Daniel, Dante looks at his lip, which at first I thought it was getting a little weird. Like when Daniel went to touch him and then, when Dante went to touch Daniel and Daniel kind of backed up a little and then Dante like touched his lip, I was like, where are they going with this? Like, you know,
I was like, where are they going? And did Dante wash his hands?
Yeah, like all types of things. Like, ew, he has his dirty hands on him. But when it showed the tattoo, I was like, that's interesting. And it had SN, which stood for Sombre Negra, which stood for Death Squad, or it's a type of Death Squad. And even when I Googled this is apparently a real thing in real life. Like, this was not made up for a television show. And I love how Dante said this guy was trained by the CIA.
Yes.
So,
like ISIS and the rest of them. You're all trained by the CIA. But continue.
Okay. So I thought it was interesting. I think is going to, with this, getting more backstory of Daniel's history. I mean, we know he was a torturer, but now seeing that he's been trained by the CIA and seeing that he has some fighting skills, I don't know. I think he's going to be like our Jason Bourne of the series, you know? Because even when he does at the end, when he kills Dante and them, it was like, whoa, super fast.
Yeah. That was the quickest kill.
Right. So I like that, too. And then finally, we have Daniel catching Strand in the lie, which we kind of already discussed. That was pretty cool.
I mean, it was just so many likes. So, I mean, we just can't name them all. In fact, I think we have, one dislike.
Dislike. And it was more on, like, that was fucked up. But, yeah, because actually, almost the episode was over before... I think the episode might have been over, and then I just kept thinking about it. I was like, man, that was messed up. I'm putting that as a dislike. So I kind of did it after the fact. But yeah, the fighting.
Plus, we needed one.
Yeah, we needed one.
Yeah, we got to have one dislike.
We don't need one. I think, you know, fear, we talk about it, and I say it doesn't excite me, but we usually don't have that many dislikes. It's just sometimes the show doesn't pull me in, like, you know, like Walking Dead or Game of Thrones or something, but. They're not doing anything wrong. They just need to start doing whatever they're doing just a little bit better. And I think they did that this week.
I mean, I think they're doing everything right. Like I said, the writers are amazing. They're making this show its own instead of trying to follow the footsteps of The Walking Dead. And I think sometimes we get caught up in that also. Like when we try to compare the Walker, like, oh, wow, hold on, what is this Walker doing? Is this Walker just put him in a headlock?
Right, right.
You know, but this is fear. So I don't have a problem with any of the episodes or, I mean, last week's episode was probably a little slower than I would like, you know, because usually you have a good season opening. Then the next episode may be exciting, just crazy. Then it may slow down probably like the fourth or fifth episode, but this slowed down on the second episode, right?
Yeah, that was this. No, the first two episodes were good. That was when
Travis died. Oh, slowed down on the third episode.
Yeah. All right. So for our only dislike, if you can guess, it is Daniel beating up Efren when they got caught. Well, he actually is the one that told on Efren.
I don't think it was a dislike.
Really? You didn't have a problem with him beating up Efren?
No. I think he did what he had to do. And he was hoping Efren would take one for the team. Because he told Efren, he said, if you talk, they will kill you all. But if you don't talk, well,
then I can kill you fast.
Right.
And I like Efren saying, these options are not options. I did like him saying that. And I get why Daniel got Efren. Because if he didn't, they would hear the water turn on at 5. And if they heard the water turn on at 5, that was thousands of people, who knows how many people that use that source of water.
Right.
So instead, get Efren. And those are those type of hard choices where, you know, you hear about the government doing these hard choices and people in the government that the secret stuff that they do is like, you don't want to know, they make hard choices. And yeah, sometimes I couldn't make that choice the way Daniel did. Was it the right choice? It probably was. Let one person suffer and keep other people alive.
When you say kill one, save many. Yeah.
Kill one, save a thousand.
Right.
So I think that's what he had to do, and that's a hard choice to make. But when he was beating up Efren, I didn't like it because I was thinking, I thought you said you were going to kill him fast. Like, this is after he said, talk or I'll kill you, and or if not, I'll kill you fast.
Well, he had to put on the show. Because the thing is, Dante wanted Efren to suffer. He wanted him to make Efren talk. Mm-hmm. So if he would just went in there and killed him instantly, then Tyler's like, hold up. You didn't give him a chance to speak. Now, I don't know what they're doing out there. I don't know who else is out there. He didn't get a chance to tell me anything.
Right.
So he has to put on the show first.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure Efren could take a couple of hits to save his people. Like, it's not that many options, but he was willing to be quiet and take the ladder.
Right.
He was willing to die for it.
Yeah, because even when the lady, she's the one that stopped it. And he was like, no. Like, he's like, you shouldn't have stopped it.
Yeah, you shouldn't have done that. Okay. What is her name?
I don't think we got her name. Or if we did, I don't know it yet. I barely got Efren's name. I didn't get his name until second watch. And I finally heard it said.
Well, you finally saw it written.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I finally saw it written. Yeah, you're right. All right, so that is it for the dislike. Only one dislike, so that's pretty good. And now to our listener letters. If you guys would like to give us your feedback for the podcast, which we'd love to hear, hit us up dead@theverdictsin.com or on facebook.com/verdictsin or on Twitter @theverdictsin, and we will discuss it on the podcast. Also, be sure to leave us a review and rating on iTunes. That will help us out a lot. All right, so the first comment we have today is on Twitter from David Valentin, who wrote, and this is last week, so this is before this week's episode aired, but I think it kind of, with his question and then with this episode being what this episode was, kind of is important. So he wrote, have you guys noticed the lack of diversity in the ranch? So I wrote back, yes, of course. He said, and the fact that they want to rebuild the world, quote unquote, after image makes, like what it means. So I thought it was important that he brought the lack of diversity up in the ranch because that's still existing regardless of what happened in this episode. But after seeing this episode, I'm like, wow, they had an all, like, Latino Spanish cast this episode. I don't think there was, like, one white person in this episode. We did get Strand, who's black, but other than that, I think they were all Hispanic or whatever. So I thought that was kind of cool to kind of balance out the lack of diversity that we're getting on the ranch.
Yeah, because they are still in Mexico, right?
yes, Dante and them are in New Mexico. We can assume that Alicia and Madison and all them, they're like in the United States at this point. On the border, but they're like in San Diego probably. But what do you think of that there's no people of color or anything like that at the ranch? And the fact that we don't see Ophelia, which is what I wrote back. Like, that does make me wonder if they're racist or something, because where's Ophelia? Like, or do they have all their Spanish people somewhere else? Because with them being so close to the border, are you telling me that no one from Mexico came over?
I didn't have a problem with it. I didn't have a problem with it because, I mean, me thinking from a personal experience, like, would I be at that ranch? I wouldn't be there. You know, that's just not what we do. You know, we're not going to chill at the ranch. We're still holding down the inner city.
Right.
I don't know. We're not there. I just didn't have a problem with it because when I looked at it, it looked right to me. But I guess I'm used to watching like Texas Walker or stuff like that, where I mean, you don't really see too many people of color on a ranch.
Right. Yeah, I don't think I thought about it at first, but when then once he brought it to my attention, and then even thinking of like the young kids that I was about to say Ophelia and Alicia at once, Alicia was hanging out with, like that girl, like something about them does seem like that. I don't know how to say it without being insensitive or offensive, but like something about that girl, like something about how they look like we want full bloods, no half bloods, if we're using like Harry Potter term here, like it, you know, like something about them seems maybe, that way.
But I just didn't, I don't know why I didn't feel that way, or I didn't, and until you said something, mm-hmm. I didn't look at it like that, because I mean, this is just one small portion.
Right.
I'm pretty sure there's plenty of places where people are held up at and there. But if you think about the people in the community, if you think about the people in the communities they're in, people right now at this time are sticking to their own neighborhoods, their own communities. Mm-hmm. If there was a diversity on that ranch before this happened, I don't expect it to be diversity now.
Right. Especially not like a big switch into it. It's not going to go from 100% white to all of a sudden 50 this or 25
right.
this, 25 that.
So I don't expect it. I mean, I think this is probably a little more realistic.
Okay.
Like when you go over to Mexico, when Nick found a city, or when Nick went into the little small town, I don't think, you know, it was a question where about the diversity there, because it was like 100% Hispanic until Nick got there. I'm just saying it's just realistic. We didn't question the diversity there. So I don't see why we question the diversity here.
Yeah, you're right.
I think people are more comfortable at a time like this to their own communities. Now, if you were in a diverse community before, like they were, like when it started off, they were in what, San Diego somewhere?
Los Angeles.
And it was, you know, a very diverse.
Right.
A lot of people there. And that's what they showed. They showed, you know, Alicia had a black boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their neighbor was Asian.
Okay.
So, you know, it was diverse there. So that was the neighborhood they were in before
right.
it happened. So I expect that it's going to be diverse afterwards. But yeah, I'm sorry. I don't see... I can't see myself holding down a farm. You know, when some real shit go down, I'm not saying, man, I need to head out to see what's going out there, you know, on this farm, you know, with the horses and stuff. I'm not thinking that.
That is always what I think whenever I'm passing a farm. I'm like, that's a perfect spot to hold up if the apocalypse happens. Because you're away from everyone else. You're away from society.
I'm just thinking about probably be on a cruise ship on the ocean or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that would work too.
I'd probably, you know, stay in my neighborhood. I don't know.
Well, thanks, David. But
David.
I think you do have a point. I think we will see something eventually. And I guess we'll know for sure if it's just coincidental or if it's on purpose or intentional if we see Ophelia's locked up somewhere or whatever. You know, we have to find some evidence first. So we'll see. And then we have a message from Leela TV Addict on Twitter, and she wrote, "Loved it, the best of the Fear series." So she really enjoyed the episode. Thanks, Leva.
And it was. It was a unique episode. It was special. I think this episode brought in a lot of fans. A lot of people who probably watched it for the first time again. Had them watch it like, wow, you know, this got to give this fear a chance.
Right.
And then the people who saw the walker jog or run, they're like, man, walkers are running now. I can't watch this.
Well, actually, when I commented about that on Twitter, someone wrote back and they were like, well, it's still early stages, so they haven't decayed as much. So they felt that that's why the walkers are able to move faster and move more.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a good theory.
And we have an email from Darth Mule, him and his beautiful wife. He have a picture of them. Nice to hear from you guys again. He wrote, I'm still here. So he wrote, sorry I haven't been emailing you to Fear the Walking Dead. I feel it's doing pretty good. Again, I feel the show could do a lot better if it was 75% more action and 25% more suspense / drama. This world has zombies, no laws, no rules, serial killers, rapists, child molesters, just free for all in this world. And they keep putting so much drama in this type of world, and this goes for The Walking Dead as well. Yeah, they're right. Like, of course we don't want to see serial killers or rapists or child molesters, but, like, remember that episode where Carl, not to bring up Walking Dead, like, remember when Rick had to rip that guy's, like, neck in because the guy was going to rape Carl? Like, that was like, what? Like, everyone was on the edge of their seats that episode. It's not right. That we want to see it, but the thought that people will just do that openly because this is the world that they live in was intense, you know?
Yeah.
And then he wrote, sucks that Travis and Chris is gone. They built them up and then just died too soon.
Right.
We agree. Wish they stopped separating the group. I like them together and would like to do something different. Would like them to do something different for the show. And I also hope they bring Alex back. Remember the girl from the plane? Love that character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because remember she ended up becoming like an enemy of theirs because they didn't save her.
Well, they saved her, but Strand cut her loose.
Was it Strand that did it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Strand was an asshole. That was a season... That's the beginning of season two.
Yeah.
All right. And then I'm reading his email. So he asked, it's off topic question, but I feel it's appropriate for the podcast. So I'll discuss it here. He says, off topic question. I noticed you two don't rub in our face about like the Patreon donations and been listening to podcasts about 5 years now. Don't remember them asking for donations or asking much back in the day. So what's going on? Does it really cost that much to do? Or are you two well off with money?
We love what we do.
We love what we do. Definitely not well off with money. But yeah, we used to do advertisements and stuff like that with our podcast. And
well, I don't want to say that we used to do. When we started, we did it for like the first couple of podcasts.
Yeah, like Game of Thrones and stuff like
that. We did it for like probably like 4 podcasts.
No, I think we did it for a whole season.
We did?
Yeah. But even now, so if you'll notice a change in this, the Walking Dead series podcast, we did switch hosting sites. So depending on where you listen to the podcast, you may hear a commercial come on before.
Right.
But other than that, no, it doesn't cost that much money to podcast or whatever, but it does cost money to like host and all that stuff. So I understand people doing Patreons and stuff like that. Like we have a Patreon account, which I never talk about. We don't ever advertise it. I have to figure out what the name of it is. But we do have one. It's probably patreon@verdictsin.com or something. But other than that, no. We just don't want to shove it in your face or do that. But since we're on the subject.
Really, we do this because we love to do it. A lot of people may talk about it or shove it out there because this right here is their full-time job. It's just podcasting. This is what they do.
Right.
Me and Nicole, we have full-time jobs, so that's why we give you, like, we only do our favorite shows, or maybe a show that people suggest, because we can't do too many shows. One day we'd like to maybe do this full-time. Right now, I mean, we do this because this is what we love to do. I think that's our incentive, is because we love to do this.
Yeah, because we love to do it. Although we do have an area on our website where you can donate, but it's not something we ever ask for or anything like that. It doesn't cost that much. So as Gary said, we love what we do. Now, eventually, hopefully, if we do this full time, who knows? But for now, we like to just stick with the show and ask for that free iTunes review and rating. That doesn't cost you anything. Or to retweet. That doesn't cost you anything. Or to share our podcast on your Facebook page. You know, there's definitely different ways to help podcasters, anyone's that you listen to besides our own, is getting that word out. Letting people know about them is probably the biggest way you can support a podcast, in my opinion. Okay, and then our second email from Jerry, aka Darth Mule, is, "Hi, you guys. Had to write you again, especially if I'm the only one doing this. And thank you." And we actually do have more this time, so we're excited. "Daniel is the man. Also, this episode was excellent. I wasn't looking at my phone. I was glued to the TV. I agree." That's why I didn't even get to live tweet the whole episode, because I ended up getting so into it, I put my phone down. "People are trying to figure out why that Efren uses the boombox to get the water. My only guess is to gather a bunch of zombies, just in case any of his enemies are around to use for distraction."
Oh, wow.
You know, I forgot about that boombox. Yeah. When they were going around, that actually was kind of like when they were going around and he was hitting it. And remember, Daniel was all scared on the thing.
Right.
And I was thinking, why does he have the boombox? It's actually attracting walkers. Okay. "And I still like Strand, Alicia, Madison, and Nick sometimes."
Yeah.
"Last question, in the apocalypse, are men considered as a sex offender if they mess with a minor? Because Alicia is only 17. Thanks, guys, for the awesome work you do." Yeah, and he has a picture of Alicia's profile, like, because Alicia, the actress, and her name is Alicia on the show, she's supposed to be 17. I don't know if they would go that far. Like, as far as, I'm thinking he's talking about Jake, because it does look like maybe Jake and Alicia may end up having a relationship. And with that, I don't think there's going to be any sex offender unless it's real, like a 12-year-old with Jake or something. But Alicia, right, 17, like, you're an adult now in the apocalypse, like probably almost at age 16 or, you know.
Right. And then it also depends on what state you're in, because I think here in the state of Georgia, 17 is the legal age.
Yeah. And then the fact that it's the apocalypse, I don't know if anyone's questioning it.
So I'm pretty sure it depends on where they're at, or where the writers are at, where, you know, they may think, okay, it's like this everywhere. And you're right, I don't think anyone's questioning it, but now that you said it, it will be kind of sick.
Yeah, because, well, I'm thinking, I mean, Jake and Alicia are pretty close in age. I don't know how old Jake is. Maybe, like, right now, let's say Jake in real life, like, let's say Jake in today's age is 25 and Alicia's 17. I would think that's an inappropriate relationship. But in the apocalypse, I don't see it as an inappropriate relationship. Like, it kind of gives a little bit more wiggle room. And if you even go back to The Walking Dead, now, I don't know if this relationship was going to bloom into something, but that there was that episode with Daryl and Beth, and some people were kind of cringing from that, because remember, they were holding hands, but I don't know if it was like big brother or little sister, or if it was some type of weird love connection. That did kind of make some people a little on edge, because Daryl was much older than Beth. And I don't know how old Beth was supposed to be, but she looked pretty young.
Right. I think in a zombie apocalypse, all rules go out the window, because who's really going to enforce it?
Yeah.
I mean, well, her mother's there. Her mother can enforce it. But other than that, who's going to enforce it?
Right.
I mean, you had a Killer Chris and his crew. I mean, were they going to go to jail? Who's going to take
him? Yeah, no one's going to take him to jail.
I mean, that's a very good question, Jerry. But I don't think anyone's around to enforce it besides the parents. And they might be a little occupied with the zombies.
Right.
And the other crazies out there.
Thank you for writing in. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right. And we have an email from Nancy. Hey, Nancy. She wrote, "Hey, guys, I heard the latest recap and you guys asked for some feedback. I'm Nancy. I had emailed in the past and commented on Facebook before."
Yeah, we remember you, Nancy.
"Still love the podcast. You guys are great." Thank you. "Anyways, this season of Fear has been amazing. There's a lot of new love from a lot of people online. Just look at Reddit. Just look at the subreddit on Reddit on Fear." Okay, I will do that.
Yeah.
I've missed Reddit. I haven't been on Reddit in like 3 days. And I'm getting like Reddit withdrawals. That's like my favorite online social media place to go to. Okay. "As for this episode, my goodness, Daniel is a beast. He is so well-rounded as a character." I agree. "I like that he is more of an anti-hero than a clear-cut good or bad person." I agree.
Right.
That once again goes back to what we were just saying as far as, you know, he had to make that hard choice. It's the choice that no one wants to make, but he made it. And he sacrificed Efren for the good of the rest of the people. I like that they killed off Dante so quickly. I did too. How long did the governor and Negan currently stay alive when Rick had so many opportunities to kill them? The governor lasted all of season 3 and then part of season 4. And then as we see the new one, Negan, he is kind of, I would really say just season, what's the last season that happened? Was that season 7?
With Negan? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you could say season 6 when he came in the season finale and then all of season 7. And then who knows? He'll probably last all of season 8 because he's such a good villain. So, yeah, Dante wasn't a big bad villain. He was like one of those, you know, Terminus villains. The one that lasts for a few episodes. He's not, if they're going to have a big bad, I don't know who it's going to be, but I don't know if Fear is going to do the big bad because even last season they didn't have a big bad villain. They just had little small villains here. Oh, well, duh. The big bad villain is probably Troy, you know?
Could be.
Yeah. Troy could be the big bad, I'm guessing.
I think Fear gets rid of their villains quick. Like last season, the Bromigos.
Oh, yeah. They died quickly.
The season before, the first season, it was the military.
Yeah.
When they raided the neighborhood or locked them in.
Right.
So I don't think villains last long. I mean, we see main characters didn't even last long.
Right.
Killed them off quickly. Dante, I'm not sure how good of a villain Dante would have been. Because he doesn't seem like he's a go-get-it type of villain. He seems like he's just waiting for people to come to him.
Yeah, it doesn't look like he's going after people to kill. It's like, if you come over here and then, you know. Except for the people when they went looking for who stole the water. Not stole, but who's using the water.
Right, right.
Which I wonder, how do they know? How do they know that? I mean, you guys have that much water. How do you know that a little bit of water is missing?
Well, I don't think he thinks water is missing. I think they just want to put a stop to that. That's like marijuana. Like marijuana, I don't think it would be so bad to smoke if every state was willing to tax it or could tax it, if you couldn't grow it yourself. And the thing is that he's trying to get all the money he can or all the goods he can get from the water. So he's going around trying to enforce or trying to stop people from using it for free because he wants them to come get it from him. Mm-hmm. So I guess if he go to your house and hear a dripping faucet, he's going to tax you.
Right.
He's going to grab you like, hold up, you use this water at your house or your faucet, but you haven't gave me any money for it.
Right.
So I had to make an example out of you so anybody else who think about using their water or water that just happened to flow into the street, they would think twice. So I think he just wanted to put a lock on the water game.
All right, Nancy continues. Daniel manages to corner Dante and bam, he was dead. I was so shocked but jumping for joy. I kind of knew when he paused and he's like, Daniel, you ready? And Daniel's like, yeah. And he's like, all right. And then when he told his security guard to go handle it, I was like, Daniel's not going down like that. So I was not that surprised, but I was excited. It was still a cool scene.
It was a very cool scene. And when you know the security guard to go over there, it seemed like his security guard didn't go over there to fight Daniel because he went over there smiling.
Yeah, I think he was just going to be like, oh, this guy's not as strong as we think. Let me go ahead and push the lady over and show him how
yeah,
it's done.
Yeah, show him how it's done.
Wonder how Strand and Daniel reunite with our group. Who knows? Maybe Daniel will listen to Strand and Strand will be like, okay, seriously? He might actually tell the truth for once. Okay, Ophelia was with us, but she left, you know, but I can help you look for her. Next week's looks good, and we may even find out who shot the helicopter. Ooh. I didn't pay that much attention to the previews for next week, so.
I didn't see either, but that's exciting.
Yeah. I hope my guess is right, if I get another guess right. Because who did I say? Oh, no, I said, well.
You said Jake set it up?
Yeah, but then, remember, I think we changed it to, didn't we change it to, like, Ophelia? Or.
I remember we changed it.
We changed it.
Come back and listen.
Okay. All right. And then she gave an award, and she said, an award and prediction. I ain't fearing shit has to go to Daniel. That's a good one. And most likely to die has to be a random person. Most likely to get injured would be Jake. Ooh, she's added an extra one. Most likely to get injured would be Jake.
That's a good one.
I'm going to take it further. Most likely to get injured is Jake by his brother, Troy. Because he's evil. All right, quick question. Do you guys think any of our main characters will lose a body part from chopping it off or off caused by a walker bite? If so, who? I think Alicia should. She can look like a real badass if she does. And then she wrote, okay, the reason I asked is because our fear group has found out about a lot like turning even after death with no bite to the walker guts trick, but not the ability to cut off a body part that is bitten so long as it's not a vital section like the neck. I'm pretty sure we may end up seeing it. I doubt they're going to do it on Alicia because she's like their golden pretty child. Like, the girl looks pretty in every scene. Like, even when she's like all messed up, she's like super pretty. So I doubt they want to tarnish that pretty image. So they may do it to, no offense, but they may do it to like Madison or Nick or something. But I doubt they'll do it to Alicia.
I doubt they do it to any of the main characters so soon. They may wait. I think this, you know, peeling off the skin, peeling the pants off this skin, the burnt skin. I think that's as far as they're going to go for right now with our main cast. It may happen later in probably season 4 or 5. But right now, I don't think so. It seems like they're just killing them off.
Right. And they want to be careful. They want to stop being compared so much to The Walking Dead. In The Walking Dead, we saw Herschel lose his leg. Carl almost lost his arm. He's lost his eye. There's several characters that's lost body parts on that show. I mean, what's the one that... Oh, you forget people's names when they're gone. The guy that got his leg cut off by the Terminus. Yeah, the Terminus people. Bob,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he died pretty much right after. But I think they're going to try to stay away from that, not to be compared so much to The Walking Dead. So we'll have to see. Maybe they'll do a finger or something.
And I think they have to build our cast back up. Like, we really don't have that many people left.
Yeah, well, that's why I think Jake and Dad are joining the cast. I think they're going to be part of the main cast because I think Troy's going to be the big bad that dies. And we have Lucinia now.
I hope so because we're down to 5 right now.
Yeah, not that many. Well, really, down to the original, if we say Strand, Madison, Alicia, Nick, Daniel. Yeah, only 5 main cast. And Affiliate, did I name Affiliate? Because if I did, she's not even here yet. I don't think I named her, but there's 6.
You didn't. Yeah, there's 6.
So,
if she's still alive.
If she's alive. But they can't give us another off-screen flashback death. They already did that with Chris. Killer Chris. Killer Chris deserved a real-life death. That's why I'm just still hoping, maybe. Like, I need to see that death alive, not in a flashback.
He deserved better.
Yeah, he deserved better after all he gave us. So
He did. He gave us so much.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. We appreciate you writing in.
Thank you, Nancy.
So we have an email from Tiffany, and her subject line is, "We back, yo." And then she wrote, "You know who's really back? Daniel, the mother effing G."
Yep.
Yeah, Daniel is definitely G/OG or whatever this episode. And she goes, "Wow, wow, wow. This was the best episode of the 3 seasons so far." I thought so, too. I really did. I was like, this was a really good episode. It deserved an instant cast. It did. So deep on so many levels, the episode being named 100 is from the fact that Daniel reached 100 kills in his episode, right? yeah, I mean, it is supposed to be from that, but someone has to point out that 100th death. Because Gary and I did not see, like, we rewinded it. We, like, watched over and over, and the last...
Just to count.
Yeah, just to count. And that last security guard, Efren, only tripped. And then he didn't even show the guy anymore. It's like, did Efren push him over? And if Efren did, that's Efren that did it.
Well, I could give Daniel 99.5.
For the guy he was about to throw over?
The guy that he brought over to Dante.
Okay, maybe that could be, yeah. He brought him over and then Dante and him throwing him over. Yeah. Okay. I think even when Daniel turned in Efren, he was doing it in hopes of preserving the water source, even if it means sacrificing one person. Yes, which is kind of what we talked about. It's still kind of messed up, but he was actually thinking about the larger group. And yeah, we agree. That's why it's a hard decision because I don't know. I don't know if I could make that decision. What about Strand? Does he really need to lie as much as he does?
Right.
Yeah.
He could have been honest.
Yeah, but yeah, had no reason to lie. I don't know why telling Daniel the truth about Ophelia, she was with us but took off by herself, was really a bad thing to tell him. I really like his new group. They are survivors and they don't speak some weird, destroyed English, looking at the trash people from The Walking Dead. Also, because we are forced to deal with Negan, I really appreciate how quickly Dante was dispatched. 2 episodes and he's gotten on Daniel's nerves enough. Okay, so that's someone else that brought up how quick Dante died. Ain't fair and shit. I like how she has it. I'm going to say Strand because this dude knows his lies will get him killed. So he's right. So pretty much he's saying, okay, he knows his lies is going to get him killed, but he's still lying.
He lies anyway.
Yeah. He's always close. He should be your most likely to die because he's always so close to getting killed every episode.
Right.
You know, it's going to be funny if he's like the one that makes it in the end, like, you know, the one that like barely made it, has zero fighting skills. Okay. Predictions. Who knows? But I'm very surprisingly enjoying the ride. And it's your, hi everyone, Tiffany. Thanks, Tiffany.
And yeah, the mention Strand, I agree that he's not fearing shit because one thing that me and Nicole spoke about, like amongst each other, was Strand tells all these lies. Strand is like the biggest con artist, that he does a lot of stuff that can get him killed, but Strand can't fight.
Right.
We just seen Strand get beat up on multiple occasions. I'm like, wouldn't you think Strand, you know, has some fighting skills or skills to get out of these situations if things turn ugly?
You would think by now.
But he don't. This dude just rely on his lies.
And you would think by now, if he was such a good liar, like this is his job is to be a con artist, he would be a little more charismatic, a little more knowing how to get out of these situations. Because he's gotten lucky, but he hasn't got out of these situations because he got himself out. He just kept getting lucky. Like he ran into Nick. Nick helped him get out of the cage. You know, now Strand helped him get out of this. He's always getting someone to help him out. Madison and them helped him out the last time. So yeah, he's just getting lucky. All right, but that is it. We appreciate everyone writing. It was so good to hear the different feedback and different opinions. That's always good.
Yes, it was.
So remember, hit us up, dead@theverdictsin.com, on Twitter, @verdictsin, facebook.com/verdictsin, and then, of course, a review and rating on iTunes. So, I ain't fearing shit. Who do you got, Gary?
I'm going to have to go with Daniel. I mean, Daniel is a mean killing machine. I can't say he wasn't fearing shit the whole episode because he thought the lady walker had him. He was under the car screaming and crying.
Right.
He made up for it at the end.
I kind of want to pick Daniel as well, but I'm going to go in a different direction. I'm going to give it to Efren. Efren's out there on his own, has music blasting, somehow attracting walkers to him, but hoping that they can also protect him against his enemies. Maybe that's a theory. And then he's actually going out in there and saving strangers. I mean, I know he kept calling Daniel old man, so it's as if, like, maybe he never saw Daniel as a threat. But as we know in this world, everyone's a threat. Anyone you come in contact with that you do not know, they can be a threat because you just never know what they're capable of.
Right.
So I feel that he's not fearing shit. I mean, he held, like, if someone punched me once, I would be talking. Like, even though, like, I knew, like, okay, keep your mouth shut. Punch once. Ow. Okay, this is what I did. Like, I would say everything. So, like, for him to keep his mouth shut as he just kept getting punched and punched by Daniel, a man that was trained by the CIA, like, he's not fearing shit. He was strong. I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have even begged for his life if he was next rather than that lady. Like, I think he would have just died knowing that, you know what, I did the right thing. And maybe they didn't, but I did the right thing. So, Efren's not, I ain't fearing shit.
All right, that's a good one.
And then most likely to die?
Wow, that's a good one. Maybe a couple of walkers. I don't see anyone of importance getting killed. Maybe a couple of extras they bring in. A walker or two. Or what is the girl that's with Nick?
Luciana?
I mean, it's a possibility that she could get killed. In fact, that's who I'm going with. Luciana. Because she's already tied to the bed.
Troy's just going to go and kill her and say, you're coming between me and Nick.
Right. Or when they let her loose, she's going to because she's already upset that they killed her family, killed her people. So they cut her loose and she might want to take action. So that's what I'm going with.
All right. My most likely to die is going to actually be one of the people from Alicia's little crew. I think somehow that Walker head is going to get loose or something. Like, I think next week is going to be some weird freak accident kill. And it's not going to be like a complete like extra. It's going to be someone that we've seen, such as like one of her crew. And so not one of the main characters, not one of people that have a lot of speaking parts, but not a complete, we've never heard them talk before either. But who knows? Because remember, Madison and them are going on some type of hunt or something, I think, to look for the people who shot down the helicopter. So it's possible someone in that crew, which would still be considered an extra if we don't hear them talk. It could be one of them. But I'm going to stick with one of Alicia's friends, her new friends, one of them. So that is it. We will be back next week. And I want to say that we'll do an instant cast, but I hate to say it and then we don't. Oh, we probably won't, because Gary's going out of town, and he'll probably get home too late to be able to do an instant cast. So let's just say there won't be an instant cast next week, but we will have our full recap up. Try to have it up Tuesday at the latest Wednesday. So until then, I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Have a good one.
Bye.